Coming up on Gamers Week Podcast.
Colossal Cave Adventure, I'm not familiar with, but it sounds like...
It's a mainframe adventure game from like the 1970s.
Gotcha. But to me, the title sounds a lot like my experiences in college, so...
get it?
A beat while everybody thought about it. And there it is.
Oh, we're rocking in a, what is that, a monster?
Is that a good idea?
Oh, it's a Guinness. Nice. Oh.
What do you mean, is that a good idea?
Monster would have been, a terrible idea.
Why?
It's 8:30 at night for you.
Doesn't affect me. I can go to I can drink a monster and go right to sleep.
That's an odd superpower, but all right.
Yeah.
In college, there was a gas station that would sell Shock coffee, which...
I remember that.
Yeah. So we used to fill up on Shock coffee, which is great because it would focus you. Shock you'd be ready. Coffee. It's like six times the caffeine or something like that. Something outrageous.
Okay.
And the only problem is the next day it has an effect on your body.
Like what kind?
Like one where you would spend time in a little room by yourself.
On the porcelain throne.
Yes. It would give you the worst shits. So the idea, though, is you take it right before a final, then you're good to go. But the problem is about halfway through the final, you get that bloop.
The person in the chair next to you is like...
Like, what the hell did I just hear?
Shock coffee, man.
It's like, what's his name from Van Wilder when he goes to take the test? And he's just like... yeah. She drink, makes him that smoothie, and all of a sudden he's sitting down. He's like... just working in C.
Look at this guy. Finished it in 15 minutes. They just take this shit away from paper pens.
Welcome to Gamers Week Podcast. Like the name says, we analyze the best, worst, and weirdest headlines of the past week in the video game industry. This is episode 115, and today is Wednesday, March 20th, 2024. My name is Donnie G. Retro, and I will be your host this evening, but I am not alone. I have with me my two lovely co-hosts. My first co-host loves to bake, so much so that his favorite place to bake cornbread is in the shower, and he only uses Giphy. Please, let's welcome Ryan Payne, a.k.a. Retro Game Brews. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm good, and Jiffy, the brand of choice for shower cornbread.
Heads up!
It's an underrated recipe. I'm sad I've never tried it.
And my second co-host has been lying to us for years, and recently has laid out her plans to start her very own first-person shooter podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, we have with us tonight Writer's View, a.k.a. Blue Williams. Blue, how are you this evening? And I have to say... Years of deception, you're better than that.
I am confused.
Why are you confused?
Because I don't remember.
Oh, it's not something you said.
He just made it up.
You're just making it up out of nowhere. So Ryan's comes from the uncut and mine just is pulled from your ass, huh?
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
All right. I'm good then. We're good. For a minute there, I was thinking I need to schedule an appointment with a specialist.
Brain specialist or colonoscopy?
Either one, I suppose.
If Donnie gets one, then you'll see where his ideas come from. So I think that's a win-win, right?
We'll just get to pull all the ideas out of there all at once.
Like a magician, just keep pulling, you know?
Should I get the video on DVD from the proctologist whenever I go and see him?
I don't have a DVD player because...
Because it's 2024.
Can we get it on Betamax?
Or Laserdisc?
It's making a comeback, man. It's making a comeback.
It is. Before we get started, we have an update on the future of Gamers Week. After this episode, we are going to break for a few weeks, and we will be back on the first Friday in May with more episodes. But things will be looking a little different on the show after today. We're going to be implementing some updates and changes that will help Gamers Week be a sustainable part of our lives for years to come, so be sure to check back with us in May to see what's new.
We are going to be on a break. We're going to be seeing other podcasts for a little bit.
We were on a break!
Exactly. So if any one of us happen to go on another podcast and actually do well and it gets very popular and whatnot, it's something you can do without reservation or feeling of any guilt or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. We're an open relationship podcast.
All right, so now let's move on to our reviews, reactions, and requests. Holly Capasso says, my kids just asked me if there was going to be a Super Mario 2 movie. I can give them the good news. And see what kind of service we're providing here at Gamers Week Podcast. We're giving you information, quality information.
So it makes the job all worth it.
And right. I've known Holly since preschool.
Okay.
We were actually in a play together in preschool, and she was a deer, and I was a big bear.
A big bear. Yep. Not just a bear. You were a
bear. Yes, you are. You big
stud. Okay, so like the bear head was above my head, and there was an opening where my actual face was. It was like strapped onto that. It's quite the sight to see. I'll see if I can pull up some pictures of it.
Please do.
Mm-hmm. All right. We need pictures of that, and then we need blue with crimped hair. Matt Coffee says, this VIP, oh my God, best VIP ever, hands down.
Could you repeat that screaming it? Because I feel like it was all in caps and you just didn't really capture the true nature.
This VIP! Oh my God! Hands down!
Look at that. He's dedicated to his craft.
Ooh, he's waving his arms and everything.
Right.
Going to listen for the footsteps coming upstairs to tell me to shut the f- up. Oh, and they're not happening.
Nope, okay. We're good. Yeah. But yes, Ben Magnet gave us a great VIP last week. It was awesome.
And at MattBob84 says, in the next Mario movie, Bowser should sing, I was going to rule the world, but then I shelled. Was going to marry the Peach, but I shelled. Now I'm all shelled out, and I know why. Hey, hey, cause Mario.
I think that was supposed to be in like the Then I Got High.
Right.
Okay. Take two.
I was gonna ruin the world, but then I got shelled. I was gonna marry the peach, but then I got shelled. And I'm all shelled out, and I know what I want. Hey, Mario.
Cause Mario. I was gonna climb the pole, but then I got shelled.
All right, and now it's time for the
there is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. This dimension is vast as space and as timeless as infinity. This is dimension of nerdiness, an area in which we call the VIP zone. Picture this, an online community that wants to vote on their favorite video game-related topics and a weekly podcast that gives them the opportunity to do so. However, the app used is owned by an evil Machiavellian emperor, a large man-baby, who spends his money and time trolling others on his platform rather than improving his app, dictates how many choices the podcast can present for answers at a given time. This upsets their listeners, but rather than blaming the man whose last name means a strong-smelling reddish-brown substance which is secreted from a male deer, they blame the podcast, saying things like, I can't believe you didn't choose my favorite answer. How will the podcast overcome these false accusations and exonerate their name in the video game community? You'll find out on this week's episode of the VIP Zone.
Nice. Short, sweet, to the point.
God, I love that music.
Musk is deer-related term?
It's the smell that a male deer secretes in order to attract a doe. And is often used in perfume.
They like to take a lot of substances from animals' asses in perfume, oddly enough.
One of them is not from the ass, but it's sperm whale vomit, known as ambergris, which is what they use to, it's a binding agent. And it's basically whale loogies.
I'm sorry.
Or mm-hmm. you could get vanilla flavoring comes from beaver anal sacs.
That's right. Anal glands. Yeah.
Yep. What? Yep. Uh-huh. Don't tell me this shit.
That's why when we go get ice cream, I don't get the vanilla.
Oh, man.
Next time he's looking at a cone, it's just going to hit him. It's going to remind himself. Right?
I'm begging you, stop.
He's going to shrug his head. I'm not the worst beaver I've ever had.
Nice beaver.
On that note, every Monday on Twitter, we post our VIP or very important poll. If you'd like to participate, follow us on Twitter at GamersWeekPC. Question for the week was, with World Storytelling Day on March 20th, what's the weirdest yet still good storyline in video games? Coming in third place was Undertale with 22.2% of the vote. Coming in second was Alan Wake 1 with 23.3% of the vote. And winning it this week was Death Stranding 1, because there's another one coming out, but you don't know the actual story, so we couldn't use it. 31.1% of the vote, but 23.3% of you said others. So let's take a look at some of the comments from the poll. First up from Mogok. If we're limiting to weird, Final Fantasy IX, one of my favorite, take an amnesiac interdimensional being to force an apocalypse, but he doesn't. So another arrives, yet you have a humanoid rat and a queen in your party, and it makes sense. Best, Horizon Dawn remains peak sci-fi. That was like, describe Final Fantasy IX in the weirdest way possible. Nailed it, sir. Nailed it. At Tesseract Unfold says, Tokyo Jungle, the basic point, time travel was discovered, but could only be done on an even exchange of mass. So animals like dinosaurs were brought to the current time to allow more humans to escape to other times. And it gets weirder from there.
I'd love to be in that boardroom when it was pitched. Like, okay, hear me out.
All right, listen. I'm going to bring back a few T-Rexes.
Just a few. No big deal.
We're going to unleash them on our enemies.
Yeah, highest bidder gets to decide where we drop the T-Rexes.
All right. Paul C. Purvis says, probably Final Fantasy VIII, giants, monsters living in their brains so they can't recall they all grew up together while they're on a quest to kill the principal's wife.
Oh, that's right. Final Fantasy VIII was taking place in a damn school.
Yep. You're the best looking guy here. Stepford Crimson says, Danganronpa. Even by anime game standards, the series would get utterly batshit insane. And at D. Willy said, Final Fantasy X confronting interdimensional death whale daddy issues in Fantasy Hawaii while realizing you were on a dream all along.
Did you just spoil this game for me, D. Willy?
I mean, the game is like 23 years old.
I know, and I figured at some point I would probably pick it back up and try to play it again, but not now. I mean, now I know the ending. Screw it. I'm not going to do it.
All right, so taking a look at this week's results and poll. Blue, what are you going with?
I am going with Doki Doki Literature Club, which starts off as if you are playing a dating sim like visual novel, right? You go around, you talk, and you make relationships, and you know, it's all happy colors and bright and fun, but everything goes very, very wrong. It's so difficult to explain without spoiling it, but you have to take my word for it. It's a weird game.
All right, Donnie, what about you?
One of the games that still stick with me to this day is the Metal Gear Solid 2 Sons of Liberty, which somebody else had mentioned on the poll. And I remember playing this game or starting to play this game. You start off with Solid Snake and all of a sudden you finish this like first 15, 20 minutes of the game. And then you switch over to Raiden. And I'm like, who the f*** is this guy? And then they start bringing in these weird elements of misinformation and shit that we typically see nowadays on social media platforms. There's misinformation, there's false fake news, there's social engineering. I remember whenever you were on comms with the colonel and he starts wigging out and like, I didn't know what the hell was happening. I thought I was having a stroke back then. I was like, do I smell burnt toast or popcorn? Like, what's going on? I don't know what's going on. So it weirded me out. And then eventually after, you know, you get past a certain part, you understand that that was part of the game and it was meant to F with you. And I'm like, that was just so weird. And me at like 23 or 24, whenever I first played that game, I just, I don't know, just kind of didn't really understand it. But as someone who's a little bit more mature now, I would be able to like, I know exactly what kind of content this is. So, back then that was totally weird.
Love it.
Ryan, what about you? What did you choose?
I'm going to go with one of my favorite games of all time, a little game that I happen to have the player's guide for right here.
Yes.
Known as Earthbound or Mother 2, depending on who you ask. But Earthbound has it basically took the standard kind of RPG tropes that you would see. So for a JRPG, it's, you know, turn-based combat. It looks and feels a lot like even like a Square Enix game, even though I believe it was made by Square specifically. And as you go through the game, there's just so many strange, quirky elements to it. It's really funny. It's really humorous. The story itself is actually fairly decent. It covers friendship, the idea of sacrifice, the concept of losing your childlike self as you grow up, those kinds of things. But it also gets real fucking weird towards the end. All of a sudden, you're naked at one point. And towards the end, as you're going to fight Gygus, it looks like you're fighting in a birth canal. And then the idea of this destroying fetuses and all this weird stuff just starts flooding in at you. Not to mention, like, one of the bosses that you fight is just a huge pile of barf. So there's so many things in this game that are great. One of my favorite lines from it too is what you're about to go watch a show from the band that's on tour in that actually you have to save so they can go back on tour. But you walk up to one of the guys and he goes to you, "Don't stand by me, I just farted." Any game that has that in the story, I think, is counts as A, weird, and damn good. That's top tier writing.
All right, and now let's take a look at our patron shout outs.
We couldn't do what we do without the help of our gorgeous patrons. Here are the generous folks supporting Gamers Week on Patreon. Matto1606, You Fall Before Me, DavyPGH, The Red Ox, PDX Family, including Shannon and Luke, Zach Huge Thanks, Number One Blue Sick Voice Fan, John Baron, Sassy Sony, Evolust, Rai Rai's Secret Best Friend, Mega Retroman, Gamatroid, Mora Deeb, Michael LeKite, Emoesque, Bill Tucker, The Real Retro Game Brews, Fruitcakes Pickled Pepper, Ducks with Thick Thighs, Wizard of Zardoz, Bobs and Dugnut, Loudmoth, Retro Blast Pat, Great Cyaman 81, BNT Zilla Guy, The Mad Milkman, Seven Castle Forest, Crunchy Kong, Sheriff Snacks, Frank Grande, Love Retro BGW, Steven Sand, Ramboski, Terry Kinnear, Doogie Forever, Ducks in Disguise, Don't Make Me Pull Over This Car, Games with Coffee, and Hybrid Divide. If you like what you hear today, and we really hope you do, please consider joining us on Patreon. Your support helps cover the cost of producing the show, as well as other cool stuff we'll be doing, like prizes and giveaways. You'll also gain access to our bi-weekly, patron-only bonus cast called Gamers Week Uncut, Patrons with Benefits. Visit patreon.com/gamersweek or follow the link in the show notes to learn more.
All right, and now let's take a look at our headlines for the week. Our headline segment is proudly sponsored by the Retro Game Club Podcast. It's a fantastic family-friendly retro gaming podcast. In each episode, Rob and Hugh pick two games to play and discuss, as well as news, interviews, and other topics. Right now, they're playing through Lode Runner and Adventure. Visit them at RetroGameClub.net or follow the link in the show notes.
Adventure is just such a classic when it comes to the Atari 2600. It's really the game that kind of broke all the rules and upped their console video games from being realistically just really bad ports of arcade games into having something that was wholly their own. And of course, anybody who has read or watched Ready Player One knows how important Adventure is to that story. So
I've never played it, but for some reason, I have a copy of the manual. Yeah, really? Just random. Like, my dad texted me one day. He's like, "Hey, I found these old Atari manuals in the garage. You want them?" I was like, "Heck yeah, I do." And it was Indiana Jones Adventure and Yar's Revenge.
So two Howard Scott Warshaw games. Nice. Yep.
Now, I was just looking over at my shelf. Like, I thought I had Lode Runner, but I have Legacy of the Wizard complete box.
Oh. That game is awful. It is. A game that routinely soft locks you. Oh, sorry. I just have so many things to say about that game. All right. First up from RS Technica, Sony stops producing PSVR 2 amid surplus of unsold units. Looks like the Sony's PlayStation's VR 2 is not living up to the company's sales expectations just over a year after it first hit the market. Bloomberg reports that the PlayStation maker has stopped producing new PSVR 2 units as it tries to clear out a growing backlog of unsold inventory. Bloomberg cites people familiar with Sony's plans in reporting that the PSVR 2 have slowed progressively since February 2023 launch. Sony has produced well over 2 million units of the headset compared to what's tracking firm IDC estimates as just 1.69 million unit shipments to retailers through the end of last year. Discrepancy has caused a surplus of assembled devices throughout Sony's supply chain. According to Bloomberg sources, IDC estimates a quarterly low of 325,000 PSVR 2 units shipped in the usually hot holiday season compared to a full 1.3 estimated holiday shipments for Meta's then new Quest 3 headset, which combined with the other Quest products to account for over 3.7 million estimated sales for the full year. The reported state of affairs for PSVR 2 is a big change from the late 2010s when the original PlayStation VR became one of the best-selling early VR headsets simply by selling to the small VR curious slice of PS4 owners.
Can you ask
I identify
that?
As VR curious.
Yeah, I don't think they can curious? Ask you that.
At the time, the original PSVR was one of the cheapest all-in entry points for the nascent market of tethered VR headsets, in large part because it didn't require a connection to an expensive high-end gaming PC. In the intervening years, though, the VR headset market has almost completely migrated to untethered headsets, which also allow for freer movement and eliminate the need to purchase a stay-near external hardware. The $550 PSVR 2 is also pricier to purchase than the $500 MetaQuest 3 headset, even before you add in the $500 asking price for a needed PS5. Sony's new headset also isn't backward compatible with games designed for the original PSVR, forcing potential upgraders to abandon most of their existing VR game libraries to the new platform. And since its launch, PSVR 2 has suffered from a lack of exclusive titles, featuring a lineup mostly composed of warmed-over ports long available for other headsets. So they keep telling us that VR is going to happen. It's going to be
the future. Haven't you heard them? It's the future.
It's never going to happen is what I'm getting at. I want it to happen. I want VR to be cool. I want it to work. I don't want it to give me a headache.
It's like the word fetch in Mean Girls.
stop trying to make fetch happen.
Right. Stop trying to make VR happen. It's not going to happen. And this has been going on since the late 80s, for crying out loud. It's just not viable, it seems like. And if the quality of games aren't stellar, why would you spend basically $1,000 to play crappy games, more or less?
You wouldn't.
Right.
The fact that the MetaQuest is, it costs actually less than the PSVR 2. It's untethered. It has a bevy of titles, not to mention the fact that you can connect it up to your Steam library. So I really don't understand why PlayStation 2 decided to move on to this and totally cut out the people that already had an existing PSVR and the titles for that. And they said, oh, sorry, you're just going to have to upgrade. That's kind of corporate bullshit that I don't like. That's a, we just want your money. We don't care about this whole stuff. To me, they were acting like Nintendo.
I actually think that they were acting like Sega.
That's exactly what I was going to say. They were acting like Sega because they were in love with the tech and not the games. And they thought people would be in love with the tech too, even when the games didn't support it. So they thought, you know, we're used to being king of the VR mountain. We'll just charge an arm and a leg and make people upgrade their libraries. None of it will be compatible with anything else. The games will follow. We're not worried about that. We're just going to get the sales up front. Then people will make the games for the platform once we have the sales. It doesn't work like right. that. We need the games first. That's what drives the sales. But Sony, for being in first place for as long as they have been, somehow forgot that.
And that's, I mean, if you look even back in the 90s, the 3DO, the CDI, the Neo Geo MBS, right? Or AES, sorry. All of those were very the tech. It's the tech. The games will follow. We've got this CD-ROM thing. People are going to love
right.
this.
Even the TurboGrafx had a CD-ROM expansion thing.
Right. And it was all about how this is going to revolutionize it. But if nobody's making really amazing software for it, my guess is that it's one of two things. It's either it's difficult to program for, Mm-hmm. It doesn't have the install base that they need in order to justify the high costs that must be associated with creating a VR game. Or nobody sees it as a viable market right now. That's the main reasons I think that the library for this is so lacking. But to your point, Donnie, Meta doesn't seem to have a problem with that.
Not at all. And F you both for dragging Sega's good name through the mud. I'm the only person that can do that because I have so much love for them.
Right. Completely undeserved. Our bad. But yeah, that's one of the things is I've heard developers complaining that programming for the PSVR 2 is really difficult. And with the sales aren't there, they were like a quarter of what they were supposed to be. Why bother?
Ends don't justify the means.
Right.
Nope.
So not really surprised that they're not going to be producing this thing anymore. The question is this going to be a collector's item thing then?
Well, I was wondering, that maybe depends. Do you think allowing this thing to work with a PC will save it? I don't think so. Because the games still aren't there.
True. And the fact that it's a tethered device. And I initially thought that VR was going to be, I still kind of think VR is going to be the way of the future in some manifest. You know, with the Apple goggles or whatever, that's going to be something. It's in its early stages, but it's going to be something with the augmented reality and whatnot. But a while ago, I thought virtual reality was going to be the way to go for people to play first-person shooter games.
Oh, yeah.
I think this last year or whatnot, they started introduced this new surface, this self-moving surface that you're standing on, and it moves like you move all like 360 degrees, but it's just this little bit of surface that you're standing on. That coupled with VR is really going to do something dynamic here soon, but I still think we're another 10 years away from it actually really having a grasp or having a stranglehold.
Now, the one thing I have a problem with that is, though, if you look at the stereotypical gamer. See where I'm going with this.
Easy.
Playing Call of Duty is a, I would imagine, if in real life, if you're a part of the military, you're probably in really good shape because that's an exhausting experience.
This is how we combat the movie WALL-E. This is how we stop it from happening.
Yes.
It's VR with a little 360 treadmill.
But yeah, it makes me feel like maybe somebody at Sega is now on the board at Sony or something like that. Like, I've got an idea.
Brand new, never been done before. All right, next up from Variety, Epic's Fortnite to allow players to build and profit from their own official LEGO Island games. Epic Games Fortnite will now allow creators to build their own LEGO islands in the game using LEGO templates, props, consumables, and items. There are four different templates currently available to get players started using Unreal Editor for Fortnite and Fortnite Creative. Fortnite creators who choose to publish their own LEGO islands and are signed up for the Fortnite Island Creator Program will be eligible for payouts. Per Epic and LEGO, all published LEGO islands must have an ESRB rating of E10+ to be accessible to players in the United States and a PEGI rating of 7 to be accessible to players in most of Europe. All LEGO islands utilize Epic Games parental controls and safety features. The LEGO Islands announcement, which was made during Epic's State of Unreal panel at the Game Developers Conference Wednesday, is the latest development in a longtime partnership between Epic and LEGO, with the most recent being the launch of LEGO Fortnite in December 2023. Obviously, LEGO Fortnite was a big step in our collaboration with LEGO, but it was never the final step. There were two more, Epic Games Executive Vice President Sax Person told Variety. One was LEGO starting their own game development efforts, and then we're releasing, essentially, a streamlined program for every creator to make official LEGO games. So commercial, legitimate LEGO games that they can put into the ecosystem. With a one-click agreement and the predetermined engagement payout share of 15%, you get access to make your own LEGO game. Person says this development represents exactly what we always wanted to happen in Fortnite. Along with its LEGO Islands news, Epic Games unveiled several announcements at State of Unreal at GDC Wednesday, including a first look at Marvel and Skydance New Media's new game, 1943, Rise of Hydra, this morning's release of Unreal Engine 5.4 Preview 1, MetaHumans coming to UEFN as non-playable characters, and more new ways to build in Fortnite. Yes, Donald, I see a question in the back.
I'm going to pull a Josh Baskin from Big. I don't get it.
I get it. And it's called They Read All of the Articles from Roblox Getting in Trouble for Exploiting Young People from Creating Games in Their Game. And they were like, we're going to get ahead of this because we don't want to get sued. So we're going to set up a profit sharing, I guess, option for players, which kudos to them. Younger kids like this stuff. They thrive in this environment. They're already doing it.
Of course.
Roblox quite a bit. And now being able to take probably one of their favorite IPs in Lego and being able to create their own games is a win-win for those kids. And I think that that's fantastic. I like the fact that also they're going to receive a share of it. Now, my question is, how do you pay out somebody who's under the age of 18?
I have a lot of those type of questions. How do you pay out somebody who's under 18? Or do you have to have every single kid who wants to around and build their own Lego game has to get a parent on board who's willing to put like a bank account or a PayPal account or whatever? Or maybe everything just goes straight to the card that is on the account that the kid is under. I don't know, because they're always buying microtransactions. I don't know. I don't know how this works. How do the taxes work for this? Do you tax somebody under 18 for income that they have in a game? Also, the ESRB 10 plus rating, are they really going to submit every game that's created to be rated?
Yeah, by the ESRB. Right.
Right. Or are they going to have an AI sweep of it and the AI is going to guess what's in the game and give you a rating?
And then you could just hide, you know, and just do B and then double zero and then another B.
Right.
Right.
Until the AI learns that, you could have boobies in your game.
Well, then you're going to learn real quick, because if the AI does catch it and you get in trouble, then
there goes your payout.
Yeah, there goes your payout. And that gives everybody, that teaches everybody else the lesson. Oh, hey, they're on the up and up. So we have to be on the up and up whenever we submit this stuff.
The one thing I'm afraid of, though, is that this 15% is going to come out as V-Bucks.
Yeah.
V-Bucks for them.
Which, probably. You know, some kids probably don't mind that because they're still buying skins and all that stuff. But I think that's kind of, it's like going to a golf tournament and you win first place and they're like, oh, here's your gift card.
Right.
No, I want cash, cold, hard cash.
But this is like being employed at the company store, right? Where True. You're getting paid with company coins, you got to spend it at the company store. Mm-hmm. So are these kids really getting anything out of it? I'd say if it's Roblox or V-Bucks rather, I would say no.
Well, and also, let's say everything else is on the up and up, you're still getting 15% for a game you made.
Right.
Which if you built your own game somewhere else, you'd paid for the engine and pay to have it hosted somewhere, but you'd still end up with more than 15%.
Yeah, it's like, a 70-30 split, even on Steam, which is considered to be the worst.
Right. So it makes you wonder how much Epic is planning on making out of these games. But then again, if you look at it from the perspective of, oh, they don't want to do this for fun, most of them aren't going to make a single penny doing this, then what does it matter? But there's a lot of stuff here that just makes me go, I have questions.
Right. Uh-huh. This needs to be fleshed out and explained.
If I'm a kid, pay me in snack packs and Ecto Cooler, and I'm good.
The only problem is that they're paying you an Ecto Cooler that was produced in the 90s.
Oh, it's still good. You know the preservatives in that.
They recently released the Ecto Cooler, so I'm good. All right, next up from TechCrunch, LinkedIn plans to add gaming to its platform. LinkedIn has made a name for itself primarily as a platform for people looking to network and pick up knowledge for professional purposes and for recruitment. A business that now has more than 1 billion users. Now, to boost the time people are spending on the platform, the company is breaking into a totally new area, gaming. It will be doing so by tapping into the same wave of puzzle mania that helps simple games like Wordle find viral success and millions of players. 3 early efforts are games called Queens, Inference, and CrossClimb. We're playing with adding puzzle-based games within the LinkedIn experience to unlock a bit of fun, deepen relationships, and hopefully spark the opportunity for conversations, said a LinkedIn spokesperson in a message to TechCrunch. LinkedIn's owner, Microsoft, what? They own LinkedIn?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I'm today years old. Microsoft is a gaming behemoth. Its games business, which includes Xbox, Activision Blizzard, and ZeniMax, Actabliz, brought in $7.1 billion in revenues last quarter, passing Windows revenues for the first time. The LinkedIn spokesperson declined to say how and if Microsoft is involved in the gaming project at LinkedIn. Games are regularly among the most popular apps for mobile phones and PCs, both in terms of revenues and engagement. And puzzle-based casual games has been one of the most popular categories in the space among mobile users. Non-gaming platforms have long tapped into these facts to boost their own traffic, arguably a trend that preceded the internet. If you think about the popularity of crosswords and other puzzles in newspapers and magazines, The New York Times, which acquired the viral hit Wordle in 2022, said at the end of last year that millions of people continue to play the game, which is now part of a bigger platform of online puzzles and games developed by the newspaper. Others that have doubled down on gaming have seen mixed results. Facebook, the world's biggest social network, has been a major driver of social gaming over the years. But in 2022, it shut down its standalone gaming app amid a decline in usage. It's putting significantly more focus these days on mixed reality experiences and its Meta Quest business. Just because you could doesn't mean you should. You know,
your scientists were so worried about whether or not they could.
The Dr. Malcolm quote from Jurassic Park. I don't get this. Again, I'm playing the Josh Baskin. I don't get this. LinkedIn is a collaboration platform. What do you plan on doing? Are you talking to somebody about a potential job opportunity? Like, hey, go ahead and I'm going to challenge you in a thing to Wordle. And if you can beat me, then I get the job. Is that what they're aiming for?
If that's the case, I can't wait to use a bot to beat somebody.
Yeah.
So this sounds to me like what they're trying to do is like early Facebook with like Farmville. Right. And those kinds of games where it was like, they're really simplistic, they're basic, they're puzzle, and that you, when you win something, right, you can post like, look, I got level 17 on Queens this week. And people can be like, great job. What I think they're running into is based off of this is that people don't spend as much time on LinkedIn as they do Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, whatever. So if they're trying to keep people on the app, that means they get more ads viewed, right? That means that they're not spending time on other social media so that people get addicted to it. Then they're going to introduce articles for you to read and all this kind of stuff to like get you to stay on the platform. So they're like, oh, you know what people really like to do with their spare time? Gaming. That's a thing, right? So gaming finds a way. But I don't know if this is necessarily the right thing for that crowd. Mm-mm. Now, granted, the mobile marketplace for games is huge, right? But these sound like just crappy puzzle games. And I don't know how much excitement it's going to bring. You're going to go, oh, wow, look at me. I can play Inference on LinkedIn. That sounds super fun. What I was envisioning when I first, though, read this title was that they were going to have streamers on there. Right. And they were going to be playing business-based games. So like Aerobiz, Wall Street Kid, you know, Roller Coaster Tycoon, like something like that. That to me would be a hell of a lot more entertaining. I got to be honest. But can you even really call this? I mean, in our capacity, is this really gaming? I mean, this is the fringe.
Only by the barest margin is it gaming. It's gaming exactly. About as much as a crossword puzzle is like reading an article.
Which is still
gaming.
It's you're trying to beat something. You're trying to win.
It's like Ryan said, it's not this crowd. It's not what the site is for. No. They have a billion users?
Yep.
Yeah. A business that now has more than 1 billion users. You know what? Stay in your lane. It's fine. This is extremely strange. I'm not even on LinkedIn. It's always kind of struck me as a bit of a circle jerk about, you know, who can make the most contacts and who has the biggest network and blah, blah, blah. And
it's a dick waving contest. Yeah.
Yeah, kind of. It's not where you go to have fun. It's where you go to try to get a job or a better job. To think that people are just going to hang out there for fun because you've got a word game or a puzzle game. Ooh. Sorry, friends. No.
And really, the real reason we all go on LinkedIn is to check out previous coworkers and see how they're doing. Right. And like,
do that in anonymous.
Like, right. Right. Oh, no. You never click on the profile. You never look. No. You look at the title. Right. And you're like, oh, I knew Stephanie wasn't going to make VP. I'm on there every day applying for jobs, and it is the worst experience that I have throughout my day is going on there and applying for jobs.
Right. So when you're done with that, you don't just want to hang out, stay logged in, maybe chat with some people, play a couple word games.
Not in the slightest. I think that that is considered to be torture in certain sections. I think it's a violation of the Geneva Convention in certain ways. LinkedIn is definitely a powerful tool if you want a network and you're a part of an organization or a set of industries that rely heavily on social media and LinkedIn itself. But at the end of the day, your average person doesn't care. They go on LinkedIn. Yeah. With the hopes that somebody somewhere is going to be like, I really like your profile. I found it through this search and I'm going to hire you and pay you $1 million a year. Right. But that never happens. Never once in the history of LinkedIn.
I know you were saying that in kind of like a Bert voice. Like, oh my God. But to me, I pictured a tamer Bobcat Coltwick.
Hey, man. Give me a job. I think Bobcat Goldthwait is how I should do every interview. Just log in.
Yes, please, please. At least just one.
Yes. So tell me why you're interested in working. Man, because you're paying me money.
If that doesn't get you hired in 1 month.
Right.
I don't know what would.
I like this guy. I'm willing to take a chance on it. All right, let's move on to our top three new releases for the week.
All right, first up is Dragon's Dogma 2, PS5, Xbox Series X and S, and PC. Dragon's Dogma 2 is a single-player, narrative-driven action RPG that challenges the players to choose their own experience. From the appearance of their horizon, their vocation, their party, how to approach different situations, and more, it's truly immersive fantasy world. Most generic ever.
Especially because you said horizon.
What?
Arisen.
You could say it both ways. Potato, potato. All right. Princess Peach Showtime for the Nintendo Switch. Help Peach save the Sparkle Theater from the Wicked Grape and the Sour Bunch, who have set the stage for the ultimate tragedy. Joined by Stella and the Theater Guardians, Peach is ready to save the day. Power up with transformations and use show-stopping abilities to call curtains on this tragedy. What transformations are hiding just behind the curtain? Lots of puns. And last up, Rise of Ronin, PS5. Embark on an epic journey across the war-torn 19th century Japan in this combat-focused open-world action RPG from Team Ninja, the veteran studio behind Nioh and Ninja Gaiden, Japan 1863. I was doing it for you, Donnie.
After
after three centuries of Tokugawa shogunate's reign, the black ships of the West descend upon the nation's borders and country falls into a state of turmoil. Amid the chaos of war, disease, and political unrest, a nameless warrior forges their path and holds their very fate of Japan in their hands. So with these three, Blue, what are you going with this week?
Well, I played a little bit of the Princess Peach Showtime demo, got bored and turned it off after about 10 minutes. If you love Princess Peach, I'm sure you will love this. But to me, it seemed like it was geared so much for little kids that there wasn't a lot to keep me there. So if you have kids, this will probably end up in your home, but not for me. Dragon's Dogma 2, this has been a long time coming, and the first Dragon's Dogma is really celebrated. It's still on my backlog, but the thing that I'm kind of hearing about this, and after watching the trailer, it makes sense, is that this, again, like the one we talked about a few weeks ago, it's a sequel to a game that was relatively big and groundbreaking when it first came out, but since then, RPGs have come a long way, and so you can't just do the same thing that you did back when your first game came out, but it kind of looks like that's what this is doing. If you watched the trailer, you didn't know any better, you would probably swear this was Skyrim. So I might eventually get that later when it goes on sale. I think it's probably still a good game, even if it doesn't break any new ground. But the one I've been waiting a long time for is Rise of the Ronin. I definitely am interested in this. It looks really good. Even if it does look like another Ghost of Tsushima, I'm hoping that once I actually get to play it and spend time with it, I will see all the ways in which it's different and is its own unique, exciting game. So of these three, definitely Rise of the Ronin.
Nice. Donaldo, what about you?
I'm going to say Dragon's Dogma, you know, after Baldur's Gate 3, it's like, why are we even trying to be an RPG game? So, to me, there's really nothing that stands out about this one, so I'm going to skip that. Princess Peach, based on what Blue just described, I'm going to say that probably Princess Peach is not for me.
Knowing that you hate every other game that even looks kiddish, you're not going to want anything to do with this.
Based on the look alone, definitely not going to pick this one up, which leads me to Rise of the Ronin. Now, Feudal Japan, I'm all for. I still have yet to play Ghost of Tsushima. My son has platinumed it, and I have yet to even pick it up. I'm still trying to get through the RoboCop game that I picked up on PS5. I don't really play a lot on consoles anymore. So I do look forward to picking this one up. I do look forward to starting Ghost of Tsushima at some point. For me, it's going to be Rise of the Ronin.
Nice.
What about you, Ryan?
I'm going to share the same sentiment as you two when it comes to Dragon's Dogma and Princess Peach. Dragon's Dogma, I think you nailed it on the head, Blue. It looks like Skyrim, which, don't get me wrong, Skyrim was great back in the day.
Back in the day, though.
Yeah. And you know what? I could still probably get some enjoyment out of it, because if it's anything like Skyrim, then it'll at least be entertaining. But it's not like it's going, man, I really need to play this kind of game. Princess Peach Showtime, ugh. I don't get it. Like, I've watched a bunch of trailers for it, and, like, you're saving the theater, and you're... The theater. There's, like, swashbuckling and stuff, and I don't understand what the purpose of the game is.
The purpose is for Princess Peach to play dress-up. That seems to be the purpose of the game.
Which, you know, exactly the kind of game I was looking for. In fact, I don't know if you guys remember years ago when we said, what would you want to create for your own game? That was mm-hmm. it. I said
Princess Peach. A dress-up game, yeah.
Princess Peach, of course.
Right? And I'm sorry, but if you don't like theater and swashbuckling, then you definitely don't like Final... Theater? Then you definitely don't like Final Fantasy III. The opera house with the... Come on. You know what
it's
I'm talking about.
It's one section of the game. I'm sorry. It's not the whole freaking game.
You're not a true fan. You're not a true fan if you don't like
swashbuckling. You have to like every bit of it. You can't criticize it or you're not a true fan.
Which leaves Rise of the Ronin. Blue, I will spare you about my favorite desire.
Thank you.
Yes, I won't go into the history.
We've heard
of
about the history. We've heard it.
Right. I will spare you. It just looks super cool. And I love Japan, so definitely would love to get into it. I think it's like Ghost of Tsushima, but with flintlock pistols. So sign me up. Yeah, looking forward to it. Ninja Guide.
Son of a bitch. All right, let's take a look at our main topic for the week.
From GameSpot, every game in the Video Game Hall of Fame. This year's finalists for the Strong Museum's Video Game Hall of Fame have been announced, highlighting another selection of influential titles. Like previous years, the nominees include games from across multiple eras. The nominees for 2024 are Asteroids, Guitar Hero, Elite, Metroid, Myst, Neopets, Resident Evil, SimCity, Tokimeki Memorial, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, Ultima, and You Don't Know Jack. Anyone interested in seeing a particular game in this lineup can also cast their vote in the player's choice ballot. Once voting has concluded, the selected games will be put on display at the Strong Museum, which is based in Rochester, New York.
Since 2015, Rochester, New York Strong National Museum of Play has inducted games into its own World Video Game Hall of Fame. The list currently includes some of the best and most beloved titles of all time, including many of the obvious ones, like Super Mario Bros., Pac-Man, Pong, and The Sims, as well as some you might have overlooked, like Barbie Fashion Designer and Colossal Cave Adventure. But what does it take to make it into the World Video Game Hall of Fame? The Strong Museum says its inductees have enjoyed popularity over a sustained period and have exerted their influence on the video games industry or on popular culture and society in general. The winners are voted on by a panel of experts from the video game field. We're rounding up all 40 of the games that the museum has inducted into its World Video Game Hall of Fame since inductions began in 2015.
So, as we read these, I think we should play a game.
Okay.
I think we should read the inductees for the year, and then we should play Keep It or Kill It.
Ooh.
Pick one to keep and one to kill from the lineup.
Oh, dirty.
FMK.
I know you like it dirty. Don't worry. Yeah.
And I am going to let you guys know that you were mispronouncing the name of the city. It's Rochester.
Oh, sorry.
No.
You're not familiar with local dialects.
Yeah.
glad to correct you.
Okay. That sounds a lot like I don't give a fuck, but I mean.
All right. So the 2015 inductees are Pong, Pac-Man, Super Mario Bros., Tetris, Doom, and World of Warcraft. Keep, kill.
See, this is tough because it's the first year are the ones like if you had to pick six games to just define gaming as a whole, these are the ones you would pick.
I would tend to agree with that.
So I'm going to say keep Super Mario Brothers, kill.
Oh. Only you could see the face that Blue is making right now.
Buffering.
Kill Tetris. Yeah, I know. I said it. Kill Tetris. Oh, I said it.
Clutch the pearls. Oh my God.
I said it.
But did you mean
I'm going to keep Tetris. Snatch that back. I'm going to kill Pong. I know it's the thing that started it all, but longevity is what I'm going for. All these other games I can play and have a lot of fun with.
Yeah.
Pong I can't.
Fair.
I'm of the same mind. I am definitely killing Pong. That's a no-brainer. But what? If you're only allowed to keep one from this? I mean, come on. Countless hours of Pac-Man in the arcade. Countless hours of Super Mario Brothers on the NES. I still play Tetris every day. At least an hour of day trying to practice on level 18, 19 and stuff like that. World of Warcraft. Almost ended my marriage. So do I go back to World of Warcraft?
That seems like a candidate you might consider that. Right.
I'd say just for the, just for the nostalgia factor, I'm going to keep Super Mario Brothers.
All right. Fair enough. Moving on to 2016, the inductees were Grand Theft Auto 3, Legend of Zelda, Oregon Trail, The Sims, Sonic the Hedgehog, and Space Invaders. Ryan.
I am going to keep The Legend of Zelda. Mm-hmm. I think that was a huge step forward in the adventure genre of video games. And the memes! Can't live without the memes. I am going to, and I'm so sorry, Coffee Ryan. I'm going to kill Sonic the Hedgehog! Oh,
no. You just cost us a patron!
I've just never gotten into Sonic. I just don't get it. I don't play it. It just it never resonated with me. It never has.
Wow. But Sega does when Nintendo don't.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
Okay, Donnie, what are you going to do?
I am definitely killing The Sims. I tried to get into The Sims and I just couldn't do it. That was too much micromanaging. And out of all the games on this list, that's the worst one. Again, I'm a big fan of Sonic the Hedgehog. But Grand Theft Auto 3 for me was a defining game in that particular genre of games. And it just revolutionized how we play these games now. So I'm sticking with Grand Theft Auto 3 as to keep.
Yeah, that actually was my thoughts exactly. Kill The Sims, keep Grand Theft Auto 3. As much as I adore Legend of Zelda, I think Grand Theft Auto 3 made, and I hate saying this, made a bigger impact on video games as a whole. And I want to go wash my mouth out with soap now.
We'll watch. We'll wait and watch.
Do we have to switch over to a different platform to watch that? Or
what? Right. You're going to have to log into that one.
That one, she said.
All right. Next up for the 2017 inductees, Donkey Kong, Halo Combat Evolved, Pokemon Red and Green, and Street Fighter 2. Blue, what are you keeping? What are you killing?
Keeping Street Fighter 2, killing Pokemon. That one's pretty easy, honestly.
Okay, good. Yeah, I get that. Ryan?
It hurts me to say it, but I'm going to also kill Pokemon. I love those games, but if we're talking about the rest of the list, those had a much more impact on me.
Yep, it's the Wesley Snipes gif with the gun and the tears.
Right, exactly. I'm going to keep Donkey Kong. To me, it's one of the best games ever made. And so.
100%.
Donnie?
How dare they put two games on here like Donkey Kong and Street Fighter 2, and I'm supposed to choose between those two? I can't do that. I cannot do that. Kill me instead. Kill me. Street Fighter 2, what a powerful impact on the gaming industry. This defined the fighting game genre as a whole. it set the precedent. So Street Fighter II, as much as I love Donkey Kong, as much as I love that game, I have to go with Street Fighter II. The game that I'm going to kill, I want to say Halo Combat Evolved because I was never into it, but I'm going with Pokemon Red and Green because I've never really enjoyed the Pokemon games. I never saw the allure of them. I tried playing Pokemon Go, and which is okay, but it's never really could get into the Nintendo versions of Pokemon Red and Green.
That's fair. All right, 2018 inductees are Final Fantasy VII, John Madden Football, Space War, and Tomb Raider. So Donnie, what are you going with on this one?
Never, I don't really remember Space War, so I can't really say that I would keep it.
It's one of the original games that were created on it's like oscilloscopes, right? Where okay. The idea was that you had the planet and then it would go around and you would try to shoot another ship.
Oh, gotcha. It's okay, definitely super, getting rid of that old one.
Yeah.
Yeah, killing that one. I want to go with Tomb Raider. I really do. I want to go with Tomb Raider because that was the first game I ever bought whenever I first got my PlayStation. It was a great game, great adventure game. No dialogue in it whatsoever. It was visually a great game.
Visually, the triangles.
Yeah, exactly. But I think I'm going to go with Final Fantasy VII. Amazing RPG game, one that I can go back and play to this day, even though I don't want to because I've already beaten. I beat the game once and I vowed I was never going to touch it ever again. So, but still, Final Fantasy VII is a great, great game of mine.
Blue, what about you?
I'm going to kill John Madden Football. I don't think we have needed, the world did not need as many Madden games as it ended up getting. We have to go back in time and stop it where it began. So killing Madden Football. I am actually going to keep Tomb Raider. There were games with female protagonists before that, but I feel like Tomb Raider was really the one that convinced the world that a woman could carry a game by herself.
Agreed.
And be as popular as it was. You know, you had like a Dungeons and Dragoon back in the day, but that nobody really knew about that until YouTube showed up. So, Tomb Raider was the blockbuster for sure. Mm-hmm.
What about you, Ryan?
I'm going to go and kill John Madden Football as well.
Sorry, John.
I played a lot of Madden. I have throughout the years. It's fun. I wouldn't say I look back at it and be like, man, I really love the times I played John Madden Football. You know, like I there's no like nostalgia to this where I'm just thinking to myself of what a great time it was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got, and especially back in the early days when the Bills were good, that was fun, but it wasn't fun enough for me to keep it around. Let's put it that way. But I'm struggling between Final Fantasy VII and Tomb Raider, but I'm going to have to go with Final Fantasy VII. That game got me into RPGs, and it was just a different experience. You know, prior to that, I had played like Dragon Warrior 1. We got like a free copy that came with Nintendo Power. Nobody told me when you cross the bridges, that means that the enemies get harder. And I died instantly and
harder.
Giggity.
Yeah. So Final Fantasy got me into it. And those are some of my best gaming memories, is playing through those games, and specifically Final Fantasy VII.
Awesome.
All right, next up, we've got our 2019 inductees. Colossal Cave Adventure, Microsoft Solitaire, Mortal Kombat, and Super Mario Kart. Donnie.
Don't you dare make that face about Microsoft Solitaire.
I'll make any face I like about Solitaire, Microsoft Solitaire.
Spider Solitaire every single day. It's
how do you have time for anything else between Tetris and Solitaire?
I work from home. Now, if I'm on a meeting that if I have very limited engagement on, pull up Solitaire and just kind of play a little game. But Spider Solitaire is a game that challenges me. You know, it keeps my brain going. It's a puzzle like game, so definitely very challenging. But I'm not picking Solitaire on this list. I mean, come on, Colossal Cave Adventure. I don't know if I'm familiar with that one, so I can't say that I would keep it. So I'm going to kill Colossal Cave Adventure.
Oh, he hurts. He hurts.
I'm going to say kill Colossal Cave Adventure and keep Mortal Kombat.
All right. Ryan?
Colossal Cave Adventure, I'm not familiar with, but it sounds like...
It's a mainframe adventure game from like the 1970s.
Gotcha. But to me, the title sounds a lot like my experiences in college. So Get it?
A beat while everybody thought about it. And there it is.
Jeez, you got a big. Why'd you have to say it twice? I didn't.
Because of the echo. I have no idea what it is. I'm going to obviously kill that one. I'm going to keep Mortal Kombat. I loved Mortal Kombat as a kid. Mario Kart has caused me enough anguish playing against you guys. So with that out of existing, you guys would probably play Splatoon with me instead. So I'm going to go with Mortal Kombat.
You sure about that? You no. sure about that?
No, I'm not. I said probably. I said probably.
I am also going to kill Colossal Cave Adventure. I am sure it was amazing back in the day, but it's not really a style of game that has persisted. So although Microsoft Solitaire is on my chopping block, I'm going to be honest, the fact that it's on there, but Minesweeper is not, I mean... You want your brain challenged. I know which game you should really be playing.
Facial. Total facial.
No, I don't believe so. Because you're just upset that Minesweeper was not on there. And Minesweeper, while challenging, it also is anxiety inducing. Because you're like, oh,
only
my God.
Only if you don't know
oh
what you're God. Doing.
What the f*** does that mean? That was a personal dig. And I took that personally.
As far as what I'm going to keep, that brings it down to Mortal Kombat or Super Mario Kart. I think you could make a really great argument for either one. But personally, the one that's had the bigger impact on my life and enjoyment is Super Mario Kart. So that's what I'm going with.
Of course. How could you not?
You have to.
The 2020 inductees, Bejeweled, Centipede, King's Quest, and Minecraft.
It's an off year.
Solid, yeah. Solid year. Right.
Yeah. Ryan?
I'm going to get rid of Bejeweled. I've never liked Bejeweled games. I never liked those like match three crap. Even back to columns. Not my thing.
Yeah.
King's Quest has always been a game series that I've enjoyed. I haven't played all of them, but it is kind of a proto RPG. So to me, that's the one that resonates most with me. I'm terrible at Centipede. I just don't understand Minecraft. I don't get the appeal to it. So having to choose from the lovely titles that we have here, I'm going to go with the one that I'm most familiar with and stick with King's Quest.
Okay. Nice choice. Blue, what's your choice?
Yeah, this is a crap year. I also hate Bejeweled. I hate the crappy match three stuff that you're playing while you're just killing time, but it's full of ads on either side. And so they're just making money hand off a fist where you sit there and click mindlessly. But there were a lot of Flash games that I did enjoy. So while I hate Bejeweled, I don't hate Flash games in general. Centipede, though, there's been a lot of arcade games represented in the Hall of Fame already, and I'm not sure why Centipede would need to be there specifically. So I'm going to kill Centipede and I'm going to keep Minecraft just because obviously it's one of the most successful games of all time. It probably deserves to be there, even if I don't play it myself.
Very altruistic of you. Doing it for the people.
Yes. Yes. You know me. What about you, Donnie?
I at first thought I want to kill Minecraft just because I'm not interested in it, but if I ever did want to be creative and go in there and build something, you know, it's like your own little Lego builder in a video game where you can just build anything that you want. You have a reference via pictures and stuff like that. You can be creative and recreate the Taj Mahal or Buckingham Palace or even the dungeon in Saw where he like chops his legs off if you were so inclined. So I'm not going to kill Minecraft. I think I'm going to kill Bejeweled. Just the colors and trying to match those up and saying, oh, if I put this here, then this is going to drop down and knock this out. And then it creates a chain reaction. My brain, no good for that. So Bejeweled is going to be out the window. King's Quest adventure game, point and click adventure game where you're telling it what to do and you're looking for things and you're clicking all over the screen for stuff. I like those kinds of games, even though sometimes it's like hard to get into the mindset of the people that created it to kind of uncover the secrets and all that stuff. But I'm keeping King's Quest and getting rid of Bejeweled.
All right. 2021 inductees are Animal Crossing, Microsoft Flight Simulator, StarCraft, and where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? Blue, what are you going with?
I'm tempted to actually kill Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego. That game makes me feel stupid. But it's not the game's fault. The game is attempting to teach me that which I am stupid about, so I shouldn't fault it for that. So I'm actually going to kill Microsoft Flight Simulator, which is just boring as f***. As for what I'm going to keep StarCraft.
Ooh, okay.
Donnie, what about you?
Getting rid of Animal Crossing, if I'm not mistaken, and please help me if I'm wrong, is Animal Crossing the whole chop down resources to build things and...
It's a farm simulator.
Yeah, fuck that.
But you can decorate your house.
And I can also burn it down, too.
And you can go into serious debt because of Mr. Nook.
So, no, Animal Crossing has never appealed to me. StarCraft, I like the idea of StarCraft. I'm not good at strategy games, at real-time strategy games. It just, you know, the brain doesn't work like that. So Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego? I do like trivia games, however, you know, that deal with geography and stuff. So I'm killing Animal Crossing and keeping Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego. I was going to keep Microsoft Flight Simulator, but I'm keeping Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego.
In your face, Blue.
Face!
What's in my face?
If you have to ask, you can't afford it.
We'll talk about that on another podcast.
Ryan.
For me, easy for keep. I played so many hours of StarCraft. The characters, the story, it's the fun factor. It was just, and then the online play. And then there were people who made their own maps that do certain things. Like you can play SCV football with it. Like they're just the replayability of StarCraft is huge. And it was a phenomena when it came out. And I still love it. I'm going to agree with Blue on this one. Microsoft Flight Simulator is so boring. Oh my God. I don't care. I really don't.
This comes from the guy who loves Aerobiz Supersonic.
Right. I like the business side of it. I don't care about the planes.
I had the planes are part of the business. All right. For our 2022 inductees, we have Dance Dance Revolution, Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time, Ms. Pac-Man, and Sid Meier's Civilization. Ryan.
So I'm going to keep Ms. Pac-Man. I think it is a superior version of Pac-Man. It's faster. It's more intuitive. She wears a bow. She swallows. So Ms. Pac-Man definitely gets my vote on that one. And to stay on brand, we know that I am a lover of the N64. But just to piss people off, I'm going to say Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time. I'm killing it. We're going to say Majora's Mask is the only one that hits the N64.
Ooh.
Fingers in your face.
All right. So before we get canceled, what about you, Donnie?
I'm in the same boat as Ryan. I am keeping Ms. Pac-Man. It is one of my favorites of all times. Absolutely love that arcade game. Sid Meier's Civilization, it takes SimCity and combines it with a strategy game. So you have different people, I guess, attacking you and stuff like that, and you can attack other people. I just really never got into it. As much as I want to kill The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time, it is actually a decent game.
It is. I'll admit that. So
I'm going to keep Mrs. Pac-Man and get rid of Sid Meier's Civilization.
All right.
Blue, what about you?
I'm killing Ms. Pac-Man.
Fuck you.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm killing Ms. Pac-Man because, yes, she is a vast improvement on regular Pac-Man, but she's still Pac-Man when it comes down to it. So do we need two Pac-Mans? No, I don't think so. As for what I'm keeping, I do actually kind of agree with Ryan. I think it should have been Majora's Mask, but I think one of the 3D Zeldas deserves to be here. So I will keep Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time.
So just the exact opposite of me. Yeah.
Don't agree with it, but we'll allow it. And finally, the 2023 inductees, Barbie fashion designer, Computer Space, The Last of Us, or Wii Sports. Blue, what are you keeping? What are you killing?
I'm going to kill Barbie fashion designer.
Surprise! I'm so surprised.
I know. Everyone's so surprised. You know, I'm glad that little girls in the 90s had something to play, but I'm not sure that it had a vast reach to where a lot of audiences would be that interested in it. And I think especially last year, there were a lot more games that were could have been better choices. And it Barbie fashion designer felt like a reach to be like, no, look, we're including women in the Video Game Hall of Fame. So I'm going to kill Barbie fashion designer and I'm going to keep Wii Sports, because pretty much at the exact opposite end of Barbie fashion designer, Wii Sports was accessible to pretty literally everyone and everyone loved it. Mm-hmm. So no Barbie fashion designer. Yes, Wii Sports.
Excellent. Ryan, what about you?
I'm going to keep Barbie fashion. Just kidding.
You why? Plot twist.
Yeah, Barbie fashion designer. Yeah. We're going to kill this one. I didn't even know it existed until last year's inductees. Wii Sports, to echo what you had to say, Blue, that one is a game that I think put Nintendo back on the map because it was so accessible. Got you off your couch for a little bit to swing at a golf club or throw a bowling ball. The sword fighting one I never enjoyed because it was too exhausting. And same with the boxing. I didn't like that. But
Ryan's ready for his VR setup with the 360 treadmill. Yeah.
Right, right. Totally. But I think just based off of quality of game, I'm going to go with The Last of Us is the one I decide to keep.
What about you, Donnie?
For me, I'm actually killing Computer Space, even though it was basically the first video game, the first arcade game really created. Most of those older games that were on the Atari just do not hold any nostalgia for me, even though that was the system that I cut my teeth on. I could probably get down with some Barbie fashion designer if I were bored enough.
You just said you didn't want to play dress up Princess Peach.
You're not wrong, but it's Barbie. It's Barbie. I can't compete with
you're
Barbie.
You're right. You're right. Sorry.
I'm just kidding.
But I'm going with Wii Sports. I'm going to kill Computer Space and go with Wii Sports because Wii Sports got people up off the couch and interactive with their video games. And it's very fun. It's still fun to play to this day, even the OG original Wii Sports as well as Switch Sports.
So I sent a link to download Barbie Fashion Designer. I expect you to play it soon on stream.
I didn't say that I was going to play it. I said I probably could get down with it if I were, you know, extremely bored and that was the only thing to play. If I'm sitting in the doctor's waiting office and it's like I'm looking at my number and it's like a Beetlejuice situation and all they have to play is Barbie Fashion Designer, sure, I'll give it a shot.
Well, that's probably not going to happen because soon you'll be playing puzzle games on LinkedIn.
Oh, Jesus. No, please, no. Please, no.
So then finally, real quick, let's kill or keep something from this year's nominees. Again, the list: Asteroids, Guitar Hero, Elite, Metroid, Myst, Neopets, Resident Evil, SimCity, Tokimeki Memorial, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, Ultima, You Don't Know Jack. What are you killing? What are you keeping? Donnie?
I am killing. Well, I think it's easy to kill a game I've never heard of, like Elite and Neopets. Don't really know much about those games. Just based on the sound, I'm killing Neopets.
Somebody doesn't like Nintendogs.
No, I do not. This one is super tough. I love Resident Evil, but the replay value is not there. When you talk about Guitar Hero and Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, those two games have just an infinite amount of replayability. I absolutely love Tony Hawk's Pro Skater and the soundtracks that it brings, but also love jamming out to Guitar Hero. So I think if you combined all of the songs from across the Guitar Hero games and put that into one particular game, I'm definitely keeping Guitar Hero.
Okay. Ryan?
I am going to also get rid of Neopets. That does not spark joy whatsoever. But man, I played so much Tony Hawk Pro Skater and just adding the soundtrack to it where, you know, it's all the like the late 90s, early 2000s punk rock music. That was just so good. Never got any good at it, but it was certainly a lot of fun.
I think I'm going to kill. I mean, you make a good argument for killing Neopets, but just to be different, I'm going to kill SimCity.
What? Wow.
The sim games, I just don't like them. I just don't like them.
Understandable.
Is it though? Is it understandable?
Well, yeah, because I don't like The Sims. So,
but SimCity is vastly different to this.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Same principle, though, just on a bigger scale.
It's a god.
You're Sam. Not. Yeah, you're not micromanaging a person. You're micromanaging a city of people.
True.
As for what I'm going to keep, though, like if it was Super Metroid instead of regular Metroid, I would probably pick that. But it's not. Right. It's Metroid. But I think I am going to keep Resident Evil because even though the first game perhaps doesn't have a lot of replayability, it revolutionized the horror genre for video games, brought them into 3D, and it's because of Resident Evil that we have Silent Hill, even though Silent Hill now has its own problems. But horror games are what they are because of Resident Evil, so I'm keeping that.
I could not agree more. Before we wrap things up, let's take a quick break to talk about our sponsor. This podcast is proudly sponsored by A Gamer Looks at 40 podcast. The show explores the history of video games through the stories and experiences of the people who lived it. On this week's episode, Bill interviews composer and director of the Final Fantasy Distant Worlds Orchestra series, Arnie Roth. During the show, they talk about the birth of Distant Worlds, how the performances are designed, and the amazing community that's kept it going for over 15 years. So this week's question is, what is your favorite piece of music from a Final Fantasy game? Let Bill know your answer by sending him a tweet at A Gamer Looks at 40 on Twitter. Mine is the angel wings or whatever it is with Sephiroth.
Sephiroth!
Exactly.
You can do the Bells, Frogs, Big Cherries, Peter Pan, Magic Cheese. I can't really decide between the Xanakrin themed from Final Fantasy X, which was my favorite forever. And then Final Fantasy 15 came out, and as much as I hated the game itself, the music was amazing because the music was written by Yoko Shimomura, one of my all-time favorite composers who just won the Lifetime Achievement Award at GDC. So of the Final Fantasy 15 soundtrack, the track Apocalyptus Noctis is one of my absolute favorites. Like Mr. Blue and I were playing through the game at the same time, and he was doing a boss fight, and I had wandered into the kitchen to do something else, and I heard the music, and it brought me back to the living room. Not because I wanted to watch the boss fight, but I wanted to listen to the music because I thought it was that good. So between those two, I really can't decide.
It's the Sophie's choice, right?
It pretty much is.
For me, it's Terra's theme from Final Fantasy VI, one of the best pieces I think ever composed by Yamatsu. I love his stuff anyway, so it's hard to choose one, but that one to me is just a little bit better than the rest of his stuff. And just so melodic, so emotional. It's a song that I actually have on my phone. So I think that says enough about it for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Definitely looking forward to this episode of Bill's.
All right, let's go ahead and wrap up this episode. Thank you for listening to episode 115 of Gamers Week Podcast. And a big thank you to the Retro Game Club Podcast, Love Retro BTW, and A Gamer Looks at 40 Podcast for sponsoring this episode. Don't forget to check out their links in the show notes. If you want to connect with Gamers Week, follow us on Twitter at Gamers Week PC. Watch us on Twitch, which we will still be streaming, at twitch.tv/GamersWeekPodcast. You can email us at GamersWeekPodcast@gmail.com. You can visit our merch store at Gamers-Week-Podcast.Creator-Spring.com. Or if you want to do it the easy way, follow the link in the show notes. And last but not least, join us on Patreon at Patreon.com/GamersWeek. Finally, since you made it all the way to the end of this episode, please leave us a rating and a review to let us know how we did. We really do value your feedback. While you're there, consider subscribing on iTunes, Spotify, or your podcast platform of choice. And one last reminder that Gamers Week is going on break until Friday, May 3rd. And if you can't wait that long, there are always 115 episodes you can re-download before then. Hint, hint, wink, wink.
No more. But before we go, I do want to say thank you for everybody who supported us over these last 2 years so far. We promise this will not be the last time you hear from us. We'll be coming back with some new ideas. Hopefully you guys will enjoy them.
If not, I'm sure you'll let us know.
Right.
Please let us know in the comment section. I hate goodbyes.
It's not goodbye. It's a see you later.
Like corn, huh?
Wow, that was I had to process that for a microsecond. Then I knew exactly what you meant.
And then it was there. Nope. That's okay. Unlike corn, we'll come back looking better than ever.
I've already been through this.
Good night, everybody, and we will see you later.
Good night.
Good night. Whale loogies.
Welcome to Gamers Week Uncut.
Welcome to Gamers Week Uncut.
Welcome to Gamers Week Uncut, patrons with benefits. This is the unscripted, patron-only bonus cast with less editing and more dirty jokes. We don't know where the conversation will go, but we're sure it will be weird.
This fish just went right on my nipple, and I'm just like...
I Google Street Fighter 6. The first search result that comes up is people think they can see Ryu's in the Street Fighter 6 reveal.
Listen up here, kids. You're not going to want to get one of those VDSTDs things, right? Make you fall off. When you go, grab a pro. You'll be doing it for America.
That was perfect.
If you want to hear weekly episodes of our patron-only bonus cast, join us at patreon.com/gamersweek.